All right, Jabal, say good morning. Good morning. Let's begin. First of all, again, a yasher koach to Said left. Okay, I'll give me a yasher koach afterwards. All right, so we're going to begin. Today's daf is daf Zayin Amud Aleph. Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. So again, yasher koach to Yehuda for giving the shir yesterday. Thank you. We're going to pick up three lines down from the top. Amar Rabbi Avo. So today we have some really very beautiful Gemara. So Amar Rabbi Avo. The olam al yatil adam ema yisera b'soch beso. A person should not instill unnecessary or too much fear within one's home. The idea that the Gemara is highlighting over, and this is a very important yisod, is that some level of yira within one's home is exceptionally important, right? There has to be a certain amount. Now, yira we translate as fear, but the truth is yira also means awe, also means reverence. The idea being that within one's home, you know, just especially specifically with one's children, there has to be some element of awe, of reverence, even of fear of a parent in order to be able to maintain proper familial equilibrium, in order to be able to maintain shalom within the home. But at the same time, again, too much yira within the home, says the Gemara, says Rabbi Avo, ultimately causes problems. How so? So the Gemara says, because one time it happened, Shahari Adam Gadol Hitel Emi Yisera B'soch Beso. There was once a great man who instilled a bit too much fear within his household. And what happened? Vechiluhu Dover Gadol. And he was fed a great thing. And I will say, a great thing in this context does not mean something good. Dover Gadol, as we're going to see, means that he was almost fed something that was unkosher. So what's the story over here? Umanu, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. So what happened? It was Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. So what happened? Vechilu. So could this be true? So again, the Gemara seems to say Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel put too much yira, had too much fear in his home, and therefore, again, it appears that he was almost fed something unkosher. So the Gemara says, is that possible? Hashta behemton shal tzadikim eina kodesh baruch hu mevi takala al yadam. So it says the Gemara, when it comes to animals of tzadikim, the Ribbono Shel Olam is careful not even to bring about any kind of negative events through the animals of tzadikim. So tzadikim asma l'kol shekein. All the more so the tzaddik himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not going to cause that something negative happens to the tzaddik. Ela bikshu lahachilo davar gadol. Rather, what happened? He was going to be fed something that was prohibited. Umaynihu, what was he going to be fed? Eiver min achai, a limb from a living animal. So what's happening over here? Take a look at Rashi. So Rashi says over here, eiver min achai, sheneva nehen eiver min ashchuta. So the servants of Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel were preparing for a meal, and they shechted the animal, and what happens? They lost the filet mignon. You know, whatever it is. They lost the nice cut of meat. And what happened? They were scared to tell him. Or mipnei a muscle, because of their fear for him, if they would not give him the nice piece of meat, they were afraid he was going to... Listen, now, what were they afraid of? What is Rabbi Chanina going to do? So presumably, what they were afraid of is he's going to go ahead and yell at them and berate them. So therefore, what happens? What do they do? Or mipnei a muscle, chotcho avadav evre minachai, ve'viu tachtov shelo yavin. Therefore, we'll say, so they were afraid of being berated. They were afraid of being yelled at. So what did they do? They cut off a limb of a living animal, and they went ahead and they gave it to him. So something happened that, again, last minute caused him not to go ahead and eat it. But Lamaisi was close. We'll say, it's an amazing, amazing musr. What the Gemara is saying over here, and this is true, you know, if a person has a short fuse and a person angers easily, understand that people will be reticent to approach you. And it's not just people from the outside, it's people who matter a lot. Your wife is not going to want to come near you if at the end of the day you always explode. Your kids will never ever confide in you if every single thing that they say throws you over the... What's the lotion? Over the edge. It's English. Over the top is right. So again, so we'll say it's an incredible yisod. What the Gemara is saying over here is that people who have a short fuse, people are scared to set them off, and therefore again they tiptoe around them. But the Gemara is saying, first of all, people won't open up to you, but even more than that, if something's going on, people will be afraid to tell you what's going on, and you may become compromised in the process. It's an incredible Gemara. Well, so just so you understand, by the way, This is also part of the beauty of learning Gemara. You know, as they say, hafach ba, the hafach ba, the kula ba. Everything's in Gemara. As we know, the way we learn Tanakh is through Gemara, right? The way we learn Musar and Hashkafa is through Gemara. It's in, oh, these stories are here because of their Hashkafik and because of their Musar content. Weiter. Shalach li marokul Rabbi Elazar. Another amazing Gemara. So Rabbi Ukva sent the following message to Rabbi Elazar. Bnei Adam ha'omdim alai, ubiyadi l'masram l'malchus mahu. So we'll say, Mar Ukva was having problems with people. There were some individuals that were causing him an incredible amount of tsar. Now Mar Ukva had the ability to go ahead, Rashi says, ha'omdim alai l'charifu l'gadif, ubiyadi l'masram koach biyadi l'halshan alein. I have the ability to give them over to the monarchy. I have the ability to give them. So we'll say, so this is not, again, let's assume for a moment that these individuals deserved whatever punishment the monarchy would give them. So Mar Ukva is asking a shayla. Oh, that was a bas call. It works. So that's what I sound like. Wow. All right. So the Gemara says over here that Mar Ukva says, I have the ability to go ahead and give them over to the monarchy so that they're dealt with. What's talacha? Now, Bosa, he's not asking a mesira shayla. He's asking, again, like a hashkafic shayla. I have the ability to go ahead and give them over to the monarchy. Can I do that? So Rabbi Lazar, sirtate the kasam. So Rabbi Lazar will say, this is yesterday's daf. So Rabbi Lazar pens his reply, but his reply is going to be a pasuk. But like we saw yesterday's daf, because it's more than three or four words, what happens? He does sirtut. He does the etched in lines. Vikasav lei. He quoted over here the pasuk from Tilim. Amarti, I said, Eshmira dirachai mechato biloshoni, I will guard my ways from sinning with my tongue. Eshmira lefi machson ba'od rasha lenegdi, I will guard my mouth, I will close my mouth while the rasha is still opposite me. So what does this mean? Afa pisha rasha lenegdi, even though the rasha is opposite me, Eshmira lefi machson, I will close my mouth. So in other words, the message that Rabbi Lazar was giving to Mar Ukva was, stand down. Don't do anything. I was saying, I want, so Shalach Lei, so Mar Ukva sent a message back. But Kametzari Lituva, they're really, really causing me pain. V'lomatzino de'ikom b'hu, and I don't know if I could live with this. Shalach Lei, to which Rabbi Lazar again responded, Dom la Hashem v'ischol lo. Literally, silence yourself for Hashem v'ischol lo. Put your trust in Him. Dom la Hashem, be silent before God. V'hu yapilem l'cho chalolim chalolim. And He will literally again, yapilem chalolim means He will slay them in front of you, piles and piles. Hashkim v'her revalim lebeis hamedrash. Rabbi Elazar says to Mar Ukva, you know what you should do? Come early and stay late at the Beis Medrash. Lehin kalin me'elehen. And ultimately, again, your problems will be solved before you. Hadavar yatzim epi Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar said, the advice came from Rabbi Elazar. Unisanuhu l'gniva b'kolar. Rabbi Elazar said, so gniva apparently is the individual who is causing Mar Ukva all of these problems. And what happened? Mar Ukva was put in chains. In other words, Mar Ukva ultimately was arrested. So Rabbi Elazar said, so it's interesting over here. Tosfos has a discussion about whether or not, what exactly coming to the Beis Medrash early and leaving late has to do. So Tosfos points out that it's possible ultimately, again, that he was telling Mar Ukva, if you apply yourself to Torah even more, your problem is up. Now, what's the point of this Gemara? So I want to be clear. What the Gemara is talking about over here, if somebody is actively harming you, so the advice would not be, sit back and take it, right? That's not proper advice. Somebody's actively harming you, you have to go and protect yourself. What this is a case is over here is that this individual is causing Mar Ukva pain, but at the end of the day, that pain is not in a material way adversely impacting Mar Ukva. Rather, again, it's just causing him some level of tsar. The advice that was coming from Rabbi Lazar is that sometimes, if someone is just simply being a nuisance, the best advice is, don't respond. Don't respond. As difficult as it may be. They're both saying, when somebody does something to me, so the reflexive response is what? Oh, you really? Really? Yeah, that's the way you want to go? You want to do that? I'm going to throw down the gloves and I'm going to come right back at you. So Ukva says, you know what? Pasnish, as they say, sometimes the best approach to difficult people is don't la Hashem v'scholo. Be quiet. just, you don't have to, some, I will say, I think all of us, you know, often one of the early or early lessons we hopefully receive from our parents is just because someone starts up with you, you don't have to get down in the mud with them. Sometimes take the high road, and even if someone is verbally abusive or abrasive, someone does something negative, don't get down in the mud. Don't get down in the mud. You keep it up here. And even though it hurts, and even though that person may be exceptionally horrible or terrible to you, don't get down in the mud with them. Keep up. That's what Rabbi Loz was saying to Mar Okva. And again, he said, take those kochos. Rabbi says, what's the pshat? Hashkein beharav beis medrash. You know, Rabbi saying, it's very important to go ahead and engage in a verbal duel with someone takes up a lot of your energy. So better yet, I have a better idea, says Mar Okva, says Rav Elazar, take that energy and apply it to Torah. Take that energy and don't apply it to negative interactions, but take that same energy and harness it and use it towards spiritual growth. So that person who's bothering you, he or she, is going to remain down here. You, if you take that energy that you could have applied to contending with them, but instead you use it and you apply it to lifting yourself up, you'll simply continue to go upward. The Gemara goes weiter. Shalchulei lemar ukva. Zimra minan da aser. So they sent to Mar Okva, how do we know that music is aser? Zimra. So we'll say, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, the shorer bebeis hamishtos. Now remember again, this is interesting because we just did this sugya. We just did this sugya, ultimately in Sota. So remember again, that's how Rashi points out, we saw the Shulchan Aruch, Simitofresh Samech, that discussed the idea that Zimra, music is aser, but only frivolous music, what they call Zimra Bebeis HaMishtos. So the Gemara is asking over, they ask Mar Okva, how do we know that frivolous music is Aser? So Sirtei Fekasala, so he went ahead and he penned the response, Al Tismach Yisrael Al Gil Ba'amim, because the Pasuk says again, in Tehillim again, I'm sorry, in Hosea, Al Tismach Yisrael, do not rejoice Israel, Al Gil Ka'amim, do not go ahead and rejoice like the nations. Why didn't Mar Okva pen the response from here? Bishir lo yishtu yayin, with song they shall not drink wine. Yemar shechar l'shosav, the beer should become bitter to those who drink it. Because emeahi, why didn't Mar Okva say from that pasuk? Emeahu hava amina hanimi lizimra demana. I would have thought, what kind of music that's talking about? Only music with instruments. Aval de puma shari, but I would have thought that music singing with your mouth was mutter. Kamash mon rabosai. Remember, when it comes to zimra beis hamishtos, all kinds of music is aser. Frivolous music is aser bepeh and bekli. Whether you're playing an instrument or whether you're singing some kind of bar songs, this is a big yisod. I don't know if people still sing bar songs. Is such a thing like that? Right. So All right. Who says the English don't know how to have fun? You know, Mamish, it's all right. So I'll say, so again, this is important. You sowed those bar songs are going to be usher, whether they're sung bepeh with your mouth or whether they're sung with an instrument, because again, that's an example of frivolous music. What's the meaning of the pasuk? Kira is amazing also. What's the meaning of the pasuk? Kina v'dimona v'ed ada. So Rabbi say, remember again, these are the names of places. This is a pasuk in Yoshua. Kina dimona v'ad ada. What's the meaning of these places? Amarle, masvasa de artisaka chashiv. So Rav Asher, remember, says Rav Huna said to Rav Ashi. So what's the meaning of this pasuk? So Rav Ashi, what was the meaning? They're names of cities in Eretz Yisrael. Amarle, atu lo yedana de masvasa de artisaka chashiv. So Rav Huna says to Rav Ashi, do you think I don't know that they're the names of cities in Eretz Yisrael? El Rav Gvia me'argiza, Amar ba taima. But rather, Rav Gavia from Argiza, he used to darshan the names of these cities. I will say, because again, whenever he used to feel that whenever the Torah or the Navi strings together a series of cities, it's an embedded message. And what's the embedded message? Well, listen to this. Remember, the cities are Kina, Dimona, Ad Ada. And Rav Gavia from Argiza said, what's the message? Kol sheyeshlo kina al chavero, vidomein. Rabosei, whoever has kina. Now, kina in this context does not mean jealousy. Rather, Rashi says over here, kina kas machmas tsar shetziro. Whoever was hurt by his friend. He was hurt by his friend, legitimate hurt, because my friend hurt me, vidomim, and he doesn't say anything. So both say, that's kina, kina, right? I was hurt by my friend, vidimona, but I was silent, because, and I didn't say anything. Shochin ad de'ad oselodin. The one who is shochin ad de'ad, right? They both say, the one who is eternal, right? Ad ada. The one who is shochin ad de'ad, he does. He performs justice in me. As well as say, if I'm hurt by my friend, but I don't take action against my friend, I don't seek retribution, I don't take revenge, I don't get down in the mud, I take the high road, shochin ad de'ad, the ad ada ultimately performs justice for me. Amarle ela me'ata. So I will say, so again, so Rav Ashi hears this, he gets very excited, he says, okay, so what about the pasuk ela me'ata? Tziklag umidmana visinsana hachinami. So tell me, so what do you darshan from the pasuk? It was just a few pasukim later in the same parak in Yoshua. So what do you do with the words? Tziklag migmana. Excuse me, mad mana visanson. So what are you dashing from there? The boss said, to which Rav Huna responds, Amrlei, I hava Rav Gavia mi biargiza hacha, hava amr beitaima. So the boss says, so listen to this. So to which Rav Huna responds, listen, I'm not Rav Gavia from Argiza. If Rav Gavia from Argiza was here, I'm sure he would have had a drasha and he would have given one. So listen to this. Rav Acha mi Bechoza Amar Bahachi. So bless you. Rav Acha from Bechoza, he darshined the following drasha. Call me Shiesho Tzakas Legima Achavera. Rabbi say, whoever has a Tzakas Legima. Tzakas Legima, Rashi says, Shegozel Mimenu Viore Lechai of Lashai Mizonosov. Rabbi say, someone who has a taina against his friend, because my friend hurt me in business. Rabbi say, see that? Tziklag is a contraction. Tzakas legima. Whoever has a cry out against his friend, because my friend adversely impacted me in business, and what? Vidimona, vidomein. Then Rabbi say, domein means silent. In this case, it doesn't just mean I don't say anything, but what? It means I don't take revenge back. Then Sansana, Shochin Bisne, he who resides in the bush. Oselodin, I will say, he who resides in the bush refers to who? Right? Refers to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Sne. Oselodin. I will say, do you hear the common theme here? The common theme that the Gemara is trying to express is that people do bad stuff to us all the time. Right? Somebody does something bad to me in business. I will say, I want to be clear. The Gemara is not saying if there are things that you could remedy, of course you should remedy them. But more often than not, people do bad things to us in life. And the truth is, there's nothing really for me to do except to call them out on it, to yell at them, or to take revenge. And the Gemara says, the truth is, don't do that. Don't do that. See, because when you take revenge, what ends up happening is, we'll say, you know, that even if you're in the right to take revenge, at the end, which I don't know halachically if you're ever in the right to take revenge, but let's say you have a construct where you are in the right. At the end of the day, all you're doing is you're getting down in the mud with the people who went ahead and adversely impacted you. And what the Gemara is saying is, we're hurt all the time. All of us are hurt all the time in different ways. The best thing you can do in life is take the high road. Don't get down in the mud. Because you know what the amazing part about getting down in the mud is? What happens once you get down in the mud? You get muddy, right? Well said, right? You are going to get muddy. And the truth is, Rabosai, it's not worth it. But know one thing. In life, if you choose to take the high road, the Ribono Shel Olam will always be by your side. And Rabosai, we also know, we all know, and as we get older, we see this more and more. Those who do bad things, they get what's coming to them. I don't have to be the agent for them to get what's coming to them. They get what's coming to them. Because bad people, all of their bad stuff catches up. And even if in the short run they're prosperous and they do well and they have all the things that I don't, as the Gemara says, that the world life is gal hamit galgel. It's a circle, it's a wheel, and everybody gets ultimately what's coming to them. Take the high road, the Ribono Shel Olam will take care of what needs to be taken care of. The Gemara goes weiter. Amale Reish Kalusa the Rav Huna. The Reish Kalusa said to Rav Huna, Kalila Minala and Asr. How do we know? The Bible said Kalila refers to the crown. Rashi says, Hayu Osin Ataros Lechasanim. They used to make crowns for the Chasanim. So how do we know ultimately again that the crowns for the Chasanim are Asr? So Amale Midrabanam. So the Bible says so again. this person of this Reish Kalusa, etc. Rav Huna, I don't know that it's Aser. And Rav Huna said, it's Aser Midrabanan, this time, Rabbi, so we mamish just learned this in Sota. Bepumo shava spanyus, gazro alataras chasanim va'ala irus, that during the occupation of Vespasian, the Chazal went ahead and were gozer, they decreed that the chasanim should not wear crowns when they got married. Adahachi kam Rav Huna lifnuye. So Rabbi say, after Rav Huna gave this answer, he got up, he had to use the restroom. Amali Rav Chista then also said, by the way, there's a pasuk. And what does the pasuk say? Ko amar Hashem Elokim, haser hamitznefes v'harem ha'atara. The Rabbi said, the pasuk over here, quoting from Yecheskel, Soach HaKadosh Baruch Hu has said, remove the mitznefes and take off the crown. Zos lo zos. This and not this. Hashvei lahagbe, the one that was low has become high. Vahagavoa hishpil, and the one that was high has now become low. Vichima inyan mitznefes eitzel atara. Why does the pasuk, Rabbos, remember the mitznefes refers to the special hat worn by the Kohen. So why does the pasuk mention the mitznefes by the atara? Ela lomar lecha, to teach you. Bizman shem mitznefes berosh Kohen Gadol, atara berosh kol adam, to teach us that when the Kohen Gadol wears the mitznefes, then what? Then a chasam is permitted to wear his crown. Nistalka mitznefes merosh Kohen Gadol, but when the Kohen Gadol no longer wears the mitznefes, then what? Then nistalka atara merosh kol adam. Then Rabbi said the chasam has to stop wearing the crown. So Rav Chista made a beautiful drush on the pasuk. So Rabbi say, so watch this. Adahachi asa Rav Huna. So Rav Huna says, remember again, who's out of the room the whole time during this drasha? Rav Huna, remember the progression of events over here. The Reish Galusa asked Rav Huna, how do we know that a chasan can't wear a crown? What did Rav Huna answer? It's a din d'rabbanan. The rabbis decreed. Rav Huna leaves the room to use the restroom, and Rav Huna gives a whole drasha from a pasuk in Yecheskel. Rav Huna now comes back. So listen to this. And he saw that the rabbis were listening, and they were listening to the drasha of Rav Chista. Amar le Elokim. So Rav Huna reaffirms, he says, I swear to you, midirabanan. The answer to the question as to why a chasan can't wear a crown at his wedding presently is why? Because it's a din dirabanan. But, Elachista Shemecha. Rav Chista, Chista is your name, the chasda in milach. And your words are so beautiful, right? Your words are so filled with chas. In other words, both said, this is very important. What Rav Huna was saying is, let me be clear what the halacha is. The halacha is not based on a drasha and the pasuk. The halacha is a din d'rabbanan. But, that being said, beautiful drasha, right? So the homiletics are wonderful. The homiletics are quite beautiful. But the halacha is, it's a din d'rabbanan. Ravina ashkechile ma'ba ravashi, dehava gadil kalila labarte. So Ravina found that Mar Bar Rav Ashi is actually such a beautiful image. Rav Ashi was making the wreath, the crown, for his daughter's wedding. Isn't that a beautiful image? Rav Ashi's making it for his daughter. Amar Lei, Lo Sarvel Amar, Hasera Mitznefes Varei Ma'atara. So Ravina says, Rav Ashi, I don't understand. How are you making the crown? How are you making the wreath for your daughter? Do you not subscribe to Rav Chista's drush of the Pasuk that links the crown of the chasan to ultimately the mitznefes of the Kohen Gadol? And if the Kohen Gadol is not wearing his mitznefes, as he did not have the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, so how are you weaving, how are you making this wreath, this crown for your daughter, the Kalo? So Amar Lei, so the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Amar Lei, Dumya de Kohen Gadol Begavri, Ava Benoshi Lo. I do subscribe to the drasha, but the drasha only applies to chasanim. Because just like the Kohen Gadol was a male, so too again the prohibition on the crowns of the chasanim was dafka what? Only on the chasanim. Only on the men, not on the women. And therefore, again, it's okay for me to make a wreath for my daughter to wear. For my daughter to wear after chasana. My zos lo zos. What's the meaning of the phrase in the pasuk? This and not this. Dara shabavira zimnin armali mishrei dravami. Vizimnin armali mishrei dravasi. B'sha'a shamar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Yisrael ha'sera mitznefes v'harim ha'atara. So in the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Klal Yisrael, Kohen Gadol, take off your mitznefes, and Klal Yisrael, take off your crown,
Amnu Malachi Asharis Efnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malachi Asharis, they said to God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zos Lahen LiYisrael, Shekdimu Lefanecha B'Sinai Na'asa L'Nishma.
So the angels are trying to advocate on behalf of Klal Yisrael, Ribono Shel Olam, how can you do this? This is the nation. Zos, this is what you're going to do to the nation who said to you at Har Sinai, Na'asa L'Nishma.
So the Gemara says, Amr Lahen, the Ribon Shalom said back to the Malachim, Lo Zos Lahem Yisrael,
is this not coming to Klal Yisrael who did Sheshbilu Es HaGavoa V'Yigbilu Es HaShafal?
This is the same nation that took that which was high, God, and placed them on a low place, and took that which was La Avodah Zarah, and they brought it up high.
V'Hemidu Tselem Behechal. So we'll say that's the Zos, Lo Zos.
The Malachim said, Zos, isn't this the nation who said Na'asa V'Nishma, how can you do this to them?
And the Ribon Shalom said, unfortunately, Lozos, is this not the nation who took me, who had me, but yet they replaced me so high with something that was so low, and they mamash placed an idol in the middle of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm warranted, I am justified in destroying the Beis HaMikdash.
Darasha Avi Rabosai, get ready. This is a magnificent drash. Actually spoke about this by Shalashud this last night.
Darasha Avira.
Zimnin Amrlei Mishmei Derav Ami, the Zimnin Amrlei Mishmei Derav Asi, my dichsiv. What's the meaning of the pasuk? Ko Amar Hashem. Bosei, get ready for this amazing drasha. So as HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Mara's quoting the pasuk from Nachum, Im Shleimim V'Chaim Rabim, if they are complete, and if they are multitudes, V'Chaim Nagozu V'Avar. And Bosei, literally translated, it means, if they are shorn, if they are nagozu va'avar, they will be able to pass over. So what's the pshat? What's the get ready for this?
Im adam roesh shemizonosav mitzumtzamin, ya'aseh mehen tzedakah.
We'll say if a person sees that mizonosav are mitzumtzamin. Mizonosav mitzumtzamin means, we'll say what? That his mizonos, literally his parnasa, is exact. Even if a person just has what he needs, he should always make sure to shear off a little bit for tzedakah. V'chol shekein kishehem merubin. And I will say, if a person is blessed with incredible parnasa, he must make sure that his giving goes up. He must make sure that, again, that he's shearing off a good amount of that revach, of that extra amount, ultimately, again, for tzedakah.
We'll say, now get ready for this. This is amazing. My v'nagozu v'avar.
What does it mean again? It's only if we're shorn that we're able to pass through. Get ready.
Tana debei Rabbi Shma. Kalagozes minichasav v'osa mehen sedaka nitzol midina shel gehenom.
Whoever Abosai goes ahead and shears off part of his earnings, part of his possessions, and gives it to tzedakah, ultimately will be saved from Gehenna. We'll say, now why is this Gemara important? Because we're all familiar with the Gemara that says, Rabbi Akiva, Tzedakah Tatzil Mimaves. We often think Tzedakah Tatzil Mimaves in this world, in all the Mazeh, it's true. Here the Gemara is saying that Tzedakah also has an incredible impact when? In Olam Haba. We'll say, this Pashat, this is a get out of jail free card. I'm just telling you, this mamish is, I mean, not really, there's no get out of jail free card. But this, in addition to other things, is an incredible way to plan for the afterlife. So the Gemara goes ahead and says that a person goes ahead and takes from his possessions and shears off from them for tzedakah, nitzel migdim shegehenem. Listen to this mashal. Mashal l'shtei rechelos, shayo ovros b'mayim. Both say this can be compared to two sheep that were passing through a body of water. Achas gizuza va'achas ena gizuza. One was shorn and one was not. So what happens? The Gemara says, gizuza avra. The one that's shorn will be able to pass through the water, but she'ena gizuza, the one that's not shorn, lo avra, will not pass by. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because the one that has so much wool will get so saturated with water that it won't be able to move, and it'll get taken away with the current. Bosai, you hear the mashal? The mashal is that if a person is blessed with wool in this world, if a person is blessed ultimately with money, a person is blessed with parnasa. So Bosai, so what happens? So sometimes a person becomes so filled with wool, but you know what happens? All of us have to traverse that river. That river is called life. And that river has a current. If you don't lighten the load by giving to tzedakah, if you don't lighten the load by giving away to other other needs, then what's going to happen? You're going to get pulled away with the current. It's very nice to try to hold on to all of your wool. But if you hold on to all of your wool, you can't make it across the river. But if you lighten the load a little bit, if you share your wool with others, then at the end of the day, again, I'll also remember, a sheep that's shorn is not to the skin, right? Of course, you should still keep some of your wool, and you should enjoy some of your wool, and you should benefit from some of your wool. But Baruch Hashem, if you have a lot of wool, make sure to be able to share it with others, because this way not only is it good for them, but it ensures that you will be able to navigate the waters of life. Because it is incredible you sowed. Parnasa, especially if a person is blessed with it, ultimately is a gift, but could also weigh you down. Unless a person is able to share it with others and give it in good places, Lamaisa will prevent you from crossing the river. Amud Beis says the Gemara. V'ini sicha. What does it mean, v'ini sicha? Amar marzutra. Afilu ani hamisparnis. Rabbi said, "This is so." The pasuk is the same pasuk. It says, "Vechin nagozu va'avar ve'ini sicha." I will afflict you lo en chaod. You will not be afflicted anymore. Afilu ani hamisparnis minat tzedaka yaset tzedaka. Rabbi said, "Even a person ultimately who is supported from tzedaka should still go ahead and do tzedaka. Lo en chaod. I will not afflict you anymore." Tani Rav Yosef, shuv in marin lo simani anius. Ultimately, again, if a person of Osai goes ahead and even when they're in difficult times, still continues to go and give tzedakah, the time will come when they will no longer be afflicted by anius. Beautiful Gemara. But Osai, so now back to the Yosef. Just by the way, al derech hadrush. You know, I said this Orba Shalosh Shudis last night also. You know, this mushal by wool is not just the din in money. Yes, the Gemara's message is that if you have a lot of wool, then Emir Tzashem, share the wool with others. Share the wool with others, especially if you happen to be in a shul that's building a building and you happen to have some excess wool. I have incredible places that you could put your wool, Baruch Hashem, and we'll even give you a plaque for your wool, right? But again, leaving aside the tzedakah image, Rabbi said there's another yisod also, which is, the metaphor is very profound. Everyone is weighed down by something. Everyone is weighed down by something. So we'll say some of us ultimately, again, are weighed down because of our money, because it's true. It's very true. We'll say, you know, a person has, money is a wonderful thing, but money could also be a shackle, right? Oif kesef lo yispa kesef. But in addition to money, people are weighed down by all things. People are weighed down by anger. People are weighed down by resentment. People are weighed down by failure. People are weighed down by unfulfilled dreams. And some of us take all of that with us throughout life. You know what the problem is? If you don't shear the sheep, you know what happens? You can't get across the river. If you take your baggage with you everywhere in life, you'll never be able to get anywhere, because it's hard to cross the river, it's hard to get across the current. At some point in time, everybody's gotta undergo a healthy shearing. You gotta let go of all of the things that weigh us down in life, because if I don't, I'll never be able to get to my intended destination. I'll never be able to get to the other side of the river, because I'll just get caught up in the cart. It's not just money. It's not just the din and wool being money. It's a din and all those things that we have to identify that hold us back, that weigh us down, to have the courage to do a good shearing and be able to move on. Let's go weiter. We'll say now back to regular gittin. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Meirekim Lemizrach. So remember again, the Gemara said over here, the Gemara said over here that Akko, the Mishnah said that Akko was the northernmost point of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Lamemra, the Akko, the Tzvona of Eretz Yisrael, Kaima, are you telling me that Akko is the northernmost point of Eretz Yisrael? Or Minu, Yona, you could take coffee. It's Mamish, you know, after what did the guys in the back told you can't have? Is that what happened? Right? Howard, he could have, no? Yeah, good. All right.
So the Gemara says the following: Lememra, the aku litzifona deretz Yisrael. Good. Now that I was mavayishu berabim, you should at least take a cup of coffee, right? So the Gemara says the following: Lememra, the aku litzifona deretz Yisrael kaima. Now we'll say, is that saying that Akko is the northernmost point of Eretz Yisrael? Or minhu? So the Gemara says, "Kasha." Rabbi says, "An interesting case." Hayim ahalich mi Akko lechziv. Rabbi says, "The Gemara says like this: If a person was walking from Akko to Chziv, Chziv is another place. What happens? Mi emino lemizrach haderech temeya mishum eretz ha'amim." Rabbi says, "So to your right, which is in the eastward. Remember, you're walking north now. So to your right, which is to the east." Ultimately, again, that's Chutz La'aretz. That's outside of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, again, the land is Tameh Mishum Eretz Am. Rabbi, so remember, again, Chutz La'aretz has a general rabbinic tumah. General rabbinic tumah on Chutz La'aretz because of a concern of unmarked graves. So to your right, which is to the east, is Tameh because of Eretz Amim, Upetura Min HaMaiser. And ultimately, that land is going to be Pater from any kind of Trumas and Maisers, which of course makes sense. Umin HaShviyas, and also from Shemitah. Unless, of course, you know with absolute certainty that some area there has, for some reason, has Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. Mismolo lemarav. But again, so now if you're walking from Akko to Chziv, so you're walking north. So if you go to the left, which is to the west, haderech tor mishum eretz ha'amim, the land is tahor from Chutz La'aretz. In other words, it's Eretz Yisrael. V'chayeves b'maiser, it's chayev in maiser, u'b'shviyas, and for shmita, ad shivad lecha shepetura. Unless, of course, you know with absolute certainty that what? That it's exempt because it has something of Chutz La'aretz. Ad heichon, until when? Ad Chziv, right? Ultimately, again, until you get to Chziv. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Mishum, Aviv, Ad Lav, Lavo. Ultimately, again, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's not until Chziv, but it's until a place called Lav, Lavo. Rabbi will say, but what's the point? What do you see over here? You see over here that Akko is not the northernmost point of Eretz Yisrael. Remember again, what the Mishnah told me was, Akko was the northernmost point of Eretz Yisrael, and Akko itself, the Mishnah even said, is like Chutz La'aretz. So the point you see from here is that what? That Akko is not the northernmost point of the land. So what's going on over here? No. Here Abaye says, Ritzua Nafka. So Abaye says, no. In reality, I will say, if you look at it like this. So if you look at borders in general, so if you look at the border like a straight line or a semi-straight line, so the northernmost full border of Eretz Yisrael is Akko. It happens to be that there's a little strip of land that extends between Akko and Chziv. But when the Mishnah is reckoning the borders of Eretz Yisrael, the Mishnah is reckoning the normative borders, not a little strip of land that extends from Akko to Chziv. So the Gemara says, V'yoyev tana simnachi. Now what's interesting is, but yet, the Mishnah does say that if I'm walking from Akko to Chziv, the Mishnah that we quoted before does go ahead and give the simon if I'm walking to Akko to Chziv. So is the Mishnah, the Gemara says, is the Tana going to go ahead and just take a quick look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, Ritzua Nafka, actually you have a picture in Rashi. Li'olam Akko b'tzafon ribua deretz Yisraeli. Akko is what we'll call in the northernmost square. It's the end of the square of Eretz Yisrael. Ela shiritzua kitzori yotzeis on mi'akko l'tzat tzafon v'im Eretz Yisrael. But there's a little strip that extends. Does everybody have that picture in Rashi?
Yeah,
good. So you see, you have Eretz Yisrael, you have Akko as the northernmost point, but there's a little strip. And Rabbosai, technically speaking, Chziv is also still part of territorial Eretz Yisrael. So that's why, again, the Mishnah is talking about if you're walking from Akko to Chziv, what the halacha is. But the point over here is that Akko is the normative end of the boundary. So the Gemara says, but are we going to spend so much time speaking about a little strip of land that goes in and extends above Akko to speak about that that's the border of Eretz Yisrael? To which the Gemara says, yes. So the Gemara says, in krat nami yoev simna. The truth is, even the pasuk goes out of its way to talk about a strip of land. What does the pasuk say, Rabbi Osai? Now this is a pasuk from Sefer Shoftim. The pasuk says, Vayomru, hine chag Hashem b'shilo miyamim yamima. They used to go, Rabbi Osai is talking about when the Mishkan was in Shiloh. So the Mishkan was in Shiloh, they would celebrate their Yamim Tovim with the Mishkan in Shiloh. And where was Shiloh? Asher mitzafona lebeit el. It was to the north of Beit El. Mizracha Hashemesh,
but yet to the east, lemesila ha'ola mi beit el. It was to the east, ultimately again, from the path that came out of Beit El, Shechema, toward Shechem, uminegev lelavona. And ultimately again, to the south of Lavona, Amra Papa Limizracha Shamasila, that Shiloh was to the east of this small path. So both the point the Gemara is making over here is that you see that Psukim in fact do spend time speaking about directional issues, even if those directional issues are outside of the normative boundaries and only relate to a particular path. So bottom line for our purposes, Rabosei, is what? Bottom line for our purposes, if you take a look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says, "Rapapa le mizracha shel masila, kamar kra de kaima shilo de hamitzvon le beit el ksiva karchach mizracha shemesh amasila kai." So when the pasuk says that it was to the east of Beit El, it refers that it was to the east of the path to Beit El. So the point the Gemara is making over here is that you see that even Psukim spend time speaking about the relevance of even small pathways. So we'll say bottom line for our purposes is what? Is that is Akko the northernmost boundary of Eretz Yisrael? And the answer is?
Yes.
Come on, people, all right? No. No, Akko is not the northernmost boundary of Eretz Yisrael. There are cities that are more northern, either like Lavlava or like Chizif. But for Gittin purposes, we need to establish a normative boundary. So Akko is considered to be the northernmost normative boundary because Rashi says it's part of the Ribuya. It's quote unquote part of the square of Eretz Yisrael. So again, so for Gittin purposes, it's going to be the northernmost boundary, but for geographic territorial purposes, in fact, the north of Eretz Yisrael extends further.
Why is Akko northern, at least on the square, the Masila, when the whole area, the Nachla of Dan, etc., all so much further?
Not in the times of the Gemara. Not in the times. Remember, again, you're thinking about in the times of the Nevi'im. So this, they're talking about now contemporarily what the northernmost point. So from the Gemara's perspective, the northernmost point of the Ribuya of the square is Akko. Is Akko. Baruch saying, good. Historically, the northernmost point of Eretz Yisrael was much further than Akko. But again, contemporarily, it's Akko. So we'll say, let's just touch on another topic just quickly. So the Gemara says, fine. Tanachada, hamevi get besvina, kimevi beretz Yisrael. Well, it's another interesting case. If you bring a get in a boat, it's like you're bringing the get in Eretz Yisrael. We'll say, now look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, hamevi get besvina, shenichtav besvina. The case over here is the get is being written on the boat. I guess this is mamish, not the love boat, right? You know, the get's being written on the boat. So shenechta besvina, v'kasaka daitcha debinaros deretzol kamar. I will say again, the assumption is that the boat is in the territorial waters of Eretz Yisrael. It's an interesting case. So the get is being written in the territorial waters in a boat in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, again, one brisa says that it's as if you're bringing Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, again, we'll say, for our purposes, what? You don't have to say, b'fanei nechtav, u'b'fanei nechtav. B'yayif atanya idach, another brisa says, kimevi b'chul. It's as if you're bringing a chutz l'aretz. So we'll say, so which one is it? So Rabbi Yirmiyahu lo kasha, that's not a contradiction. Ha Rabbi Yehuda ha Rabbanan. We'll say, it reflects two different opinions. Two different opinions, right? Rabbi say, and Rashi says over here, "V'tanya idach maybe bechutzlat shanar in l'toras yabasha l'chol toras aras." So it's not a contradiction. How so? One is Rabbi Yehuda, one is the Rabbanon. This sanya, this nan, because we learned. Listen to this. Afar chutz la'aretz haba b'svina li'aretz la'aretz. It was an interesting case. Let's say you bring soil from chutz la'aretz, bless you, in a boat to Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi say, so what's the halacha? Now look at Rashi for just a moment. Afar chutz la'aretz haba b'svina la'aretz v'zaro b'svina. You went ahead and so the soil is on the boat. Soil is chutz la'aretz soil. You put on the boat, and now what happens? While it's on the boat, you seeded it, you planted, and it's beginning to sprout. V'tzamach v'asvina shel cheresi v'ina tzvicha linakev im haisa munachas b'karke kidamina b'munachas. Now we're going to see that essentially the boat over here is an earthenware vessel. So essentially, it's like one big flower pot. It's like one big flower pot. So watch this. So offer chutz la'aretz haba b'svina l'aretz Yisrael, chayiv b'maiser u'b'shvias. So that soil, right, whatever grows there, is chayiv in maiser and for shemitah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, when is this so? A masai bizman shas svina goshashas. Aval in has svina goshashas. Potter. But when what? But when, so Rabbi Yehuda says, when is this true? This is only true if the boat itself is touching the actual earth of Eretz Yisrael. Goshashas means if the boat is traveling in shallow waters, and therefore the boat is like scraping the seabed, it's touching the seabed of Eretz Yisrael, then it's considered to be at rest in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore again, anything that grows is considered to be like Eretz Yisrael produce. But if the boat is afloat and not touching the ground, the seabed, then the ma'isa, again, the produce will be exempt from shumas and ma'isros. To which the Gemara says, Abai Yomar Abai says, Ha v'ha Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, again, the Gemara could suggest that it could be that the two brisos quoted above, one could reflect Rabbi Yehuda, one could reflect the view of the Rabbanon, right? The Rabbanon are the one who say that Lamaisa, again, a boat in Eretz Yisrael waters is considered to be like Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, the first brisa that said that if you bring a get or if you write a get on a boat in the waters of Eretz Yisrael, that it's as if you're bringing the get in Eretz Yisrael, that's the Rabbanon. And the second brisa that says that it's not like you're bringing Eretz Yisrael, it could be like Rabbi Yehuda and what? Talking about a case where the boat is not touching the seabed. But Abai gives a simpler answer. Abai Yomar, Havaha, Rabbi Yehudahi. No, both brisos, Rabosai, both brisos are Rabbi Yehuda. How do you figure that one out? Velo kasha, kan bizman she'en hasfina gosheshes, kan bizman shasfina gosheshes. Rabosai, two different cases. And what are the two different cases? Brisa number one that said that if you bring a get on a boat, and Rabosai, what happens? The boat is in the waters of Eretz Yisrael. So the first brisa that said that it's as if you're bringing the get in Eretz Yisrael assumes that what? Assumes that what? That the boat is touching the seabed. That the boat is mamish, it doesn't have to be at rest, but meaning it's scraping the seabed. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it's scraping the seabed, then what? That it's as if it's Eretz Yisrael, and therefore you don't need b'fanechtam b'fanechtam. The second brisa that said what, Rabosai? The second brisa that said, hamevi get b'svina, is kamevi b'chutzar, says what case? Is what case? Where the boat is floating in the waters, but not touching the seabed. I'm sorry?
That's not what Rashi said.
What's not Rashi said?
Rashi said in the first brisa that it's in the territorial waters.
Right? It's in the waters, correct. But remember, Rashi's only commenting on that first brisa. But we have two contradictory brisas. The shaila is how to resolve the machlokes. So again, remember, the simple way to resolve the machlokes is brisa number one is the Rabbanon. And as long as you're in the territorial waters of Eretz Yisrael, then what? You're in Eretz Yisrael. Same way that they said that if you bring dirt from Chutzlaritz and it grows, once you get into territorial waters of Eretz Yisrael, that produce is subject to Trumas and Maisers and Shemitah. And second brisa reflects the view of Rabbi Yehuda, that as long as the boat is what? Touching the earth, then it's Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the produce is subject to Trumas and Maisers. All Abai is doing is saying, I can make it even simpler, both brisos could reflect the view of Rabbi Yehuda. But one brisa says that if you write a get on a boat, it's like it's in Eretz Yisrael. And the second brisa says it's not like in Eretz Yisrael. So how do I resolve the machlokes? Very simple. Brisa number one, where it says it's like you're in Eretz Yisrael, is what? Where it's gosheshes. The boat is touching the seabed. Boat is touching the seabed, therefore it's in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, no b'fanechta, b'fanechta. Second brisa that says that it's not like it's in Eretz Yisrael. It's talking about what? Where the boat is floating in territorial waters, but not touching the seabed. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's like chutz l'aretz, and therefore, again, would require b'fanechtav or b'fanechtam. All right, so we're going to stop over here for today. We're not finished. Again, this machlokes about a boat, about a get on a boat, Emir Tashem will fully resolve Emir Tashem tomorrow. We'll say just an incredible Yasher Koach again last night for Saeed and for Uncle Mike and for Yona's son who's not here this morning. Again, just a Yasher Koach for the beautiful, beautiful Siyum. And please enjoy the leftover peros.